Good afternoon, and welcome to Noon Edition. I'm Adam Ragusea, Interim News Director here at WFIU, sitting in for Bob Zaltzberg and Mary Catherine Carmichael. We should have both of them back next week. Bob will be back with us, and Mary Catherine will be back with us. And again, our thoughts are with her. Mary Catherine lost her mother over the holidays, but we expect her to be back with us and better than ever. So our guest in the studio today is one of these people who, you know, the Bloomington area has a lot of these folks, people with these international reputes who you don't kind of even realize are like living down the street from you in some bungalow in Bloomington. But this is one of those people. It's John Breen. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
John is a computer programmer here in Bloomington who in 1999 came up with a pioneering concept called click-to-donate sites and started a site called The Hunger Site. John, very briefly, tell us what you did with The Hunger Site.
Well, it's a site where you go and it says click here to donate free food, and you click on a button and you see some ads. And those ads pay for food that goes to various charities around the world.
So this is back in the early days of the internet, 1999, back in the day.
That's right.
Right. Where did that idea come from? Was that fresh?
It was so long ago, I'm not even sure. I remember why I thought of it. But the idea was basically to allow people to give free food just by clicking a button. And it got pretty popular.
Sure. We'll get back to that in a second. I want to let our listeners know that they are welcome and encouraged to join our conversation today. The phone numbers are locally in Bloomington, 855-0811, or toll-free anywhere in our listening area, 877-285-9348. You can also send us an email to noon@indiana.edu, and we do check that email throughout the show. And obviously, we'd love to get some calls today. So John, what happened in your life? How did you get to be a person who in 1999 thinks, what can I do interestingly and creatively with the internet to help fight world hunger?
Well, I majored in economics in college. I was particularly interested in development economics, third world. Back then, it was seemed everything we did was wrong. That was back in the days when we'd send tractors over with no gasoline and a lot of fertilizer with no seeds, that kind of thing. But it was interesting. And I've always been interested in development economics and poverty in the third world. For most of my life, I've been a computer programmer. So it wasn't really until 1999 and the internet came along that I figured here's a place that I can kind of combine both interests.
We do have a caller on the line right now. I'm incredibly embarrassed to say that it's my father. It's my dad, Steve Ragusea, is on the line.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
How you doing? What's your question, Pad?
Well, geez, I mean, I feel like I'm being given special treatment here.
Nepotism's always okay.
Yeah.
John, I didn't know that you were in Bloomington, and I've been using the Hunger Site since it very first came out, at the very beginning. And I've had a couple of questions ever since.
Okay.
A lot of times people say to me, well, how do you know that anybody ever gets any rice? And you know, the numbers they talk about in terms of millions of cups seem unrealistic. How do you know that they're really putting that much rice into the hands of hungry people?
Well, we should mention
my first question.
Sure,
How do I know?
We'll take it one question at a time. We should mention, though, that that John ceased to have his involvement with the Hunger Site around the year 2000, about a year after he came up with it. But starting out in that first year, how could you quantify how much you were really helping?
Yeah, and that's a good question, Steve, because a lot of people wonder about that. And my new site, Free Rice, is the same thing. Because people are sitting there doing this good thing every day, and every once in a while in the back of their minds there creeps in the question, like, is this really happening? Is this really good?
Sometimes it seems like the, you know, the box top scam. If you collect enough box tops, you know, we'll feed the starving multitudes of Uganda or something like that.
Right. Well, the best way to verify it is both sites, the Hunger Site and Free Rice, post each day how many grains of rice or cups of food for the Hunger Site were donated. And then you can just email the receiving aid. Both of them are very clear, like, you know, on our side, the food goes to the United Nations World Food Program. And you can actually just go to their site and they'll verify it right there. But you can also email them. They get lots of emails every day from people saying, is this really happening? Where is it going? And all that. So that's the best way to verify it.
Okay.
What's your follow-up, Dad?
Second question is I've noticed that neither site seems to be registered as a charitable organization.
That's right.
So, and I was wondering why that, because that gives it a sense of authenticity.
Yep. The answer to that is that I'm one person, and I, at least for Free Rice, I have just that website, well, and one other, poverty.com. And as just a website, I can pretty much move and change it and fix it and arrange it however I want. It's just one person doing it.
Right.
Now, if I was a nonprofit, first, it's very difficult to get nonprofit status. It's almost impossible if you're a single person because they think you're just trying to avoid taxes.
I see.
And then you have to file massive amounts of paperwork, monthly or quarterly, and you need boards of directors and things like that.
Right.
So I could do that. It's something I consider about, but and even when you file, it takes 2 years to get accepted. So I'm not sure what good it would do, though, because it would tie me down and at least in the short run.
Well, that's
it was just a question I always had, and I'll hang up now. But thanks very much for doing this. I click both sites every day. It's how I start my day.
Well,
and,
Steve, thank you.
Thanks for doing it.
Well, thanks for calling in. It's really good. Okay.
Thanks for the call, Dad.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Talk to you later. Okay, but that does bring up an interesting question, which is this how you make your living? Is this how you pay your mortgage and feed your kids doing these sites?
No, actually, I run them at no profit.
Wow, so. Okay. So what do you do with the rest of your day?
Well, I'm just a regular computer programmer the rest of the day. So.
Wow, that's fascinating. So let's talk about Free Rice, which is your newest venture. And I'm at the site right now, and I'm going to kind of give folks an idea of how it works. So I come to this site, and what I'm given is it's a game, right? It's a vocabulary game,
mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. And here's an example. It says anathematize means to tousle, encompass, curse, or spurt. I'm going to go ahead and go with curse there.
Good choice.
Thank you very much. Correct. Anathematize equals curse. I have now donated 20 grains of rice, and I've got a little bowl kind of next to my little game window here. And there's what looks like a not very sizable portion of rice, but it'll accumulate as I kind of go here. So now my next thing says wheel means seclusion, old-timer, language, or welt. I'll give this one to you. It's vocab level 40.
Wheel spelled W-H-E-A-L.
Yeah.
I would go with welt.
All right. There it is. Correct. And we're at vocab level 40, which is pretty tricky. As we were saying before the show, it's out of 50, correct?
That's right.
Which made me feel less bad for having only gotten 43 in my entire time playing this game, which I never do it at work. So why take a different angle with it this time? Why do a game rather than just kind of passively clicking over some ads?
Well, at the Hunger Site, you just clicked once a day, and that's all you could do. And then you'd have to come back the next day. And this one, I wanted to develop a site where you could keep playing and donate an infinite amount of rice. You can play all day and donate as much rice as you want. If you'd like, I'll explain to people what the game's briefly about.
Please, yeah.
For people who haven't seen it, if you go to freerice.com, F-R-E-E-R-I-C-E, freerice.com, you are given you're given one vocabulary word and four choices. And you have to choose, as Adam was saying, the right choice. Now, every time you get a word right, you get a harder word. You and the words get very, very hard at the top levels. I can't get them. There are people who can. If you get the word wrong, you get an easier word. And if you get it wrong again, you'll get an even easier word. So as you play, it seeks your own level to a point where you're right at words where they're kind of at the periphery of your knowledge. So it's challenging for you. And each time you get a word right, Free Rice donates 20 grains of rice to the United Nations World Food Program, who distributes it to hungry people throughout the world. And I had something else I was going to say.
Well, I read that you got the idea for this as you were helping one of your kids study for SAT Verbal, right?
That's right. My son, that story started really around the kitchen table when I was trying to teach my kids vocabulary like I had learned it back in the 1970s, I guess. We would sit around the kitchen table and do Reader's Digest word of the day, and we didn't take it very seriously, and I'm not sure how much I learned. But anyway, you know, when you get older and you get your own kids, you decide to do the same thing, whether it works or not. So I was sitting with my two boys, and it wasn't quite working because, first of all, they think vocabulary is kind of stupid waste of time. Not sure why they should do it. And then they started
Words. Who uses those anymore?
Right. Yeah. And then they started making fun of each other for the words they didn't know. So after about a week of this, I said, and this – plus they weren't even remembering the word. Mm-hmm. So after a week of this, I said, now this is going nowhere in a hurry. So then I thought, well, I'll try to put together a computer program that can teach them these SAT words in a fairly interesting way. And they take the – people here are probably familiar with – I think it's the NWEA tests. Mm-hmm. And there they have the same kind of system where you get if you get an answer right, you go into a harder level, harder question. If you get it wrong, you get an easier one. So I kind of borrowed that idea and said I'll apply that to the vocabulary. And then I spent most of the summer putting in 10,000 words and definitions and dummy definitions.
Where did you get the words from? Can you actually use this to study for the SAT? Is this the Educational Testing Service vocab list that you've grabbed from somewhere?
I just took words from dictionaries, thesauruses, synonyms. Yeah, SAT words. I took words from everywhere and put them all in. So I think It's got a big range of words, including a lot of words that I have no idea what they mean, even now after I've entered them.
Okay, so that makes sense. So you come up with this program to help your kids study for the SAT, but then when do you make the leap towards saying, I've got this neat little program that I've developed here, and it's been, you know, what, 5 years since you did the Hunger Site, 5 or 6 years since you did the Hunger Site, and then you think to yourself, wow, maybe I can apply this to to fighting world hunger.
Right. I kind of put both ideas together because it had been bouncing off my mind that the Hunger Site, you know, the drawback was you could only go once a day. And so I said, well, this is perfect because it'll give people an incentive to learn the vocabulary and they can do a lot of good donating food while they do it.
Okay, and obviously, ultimately, who's paying for this rice that we're donating through Free Rice is the advertisers who have banner ads running at the bottom of the screen as you play the game. Do you actually personally solicit those advertisers, or do you go through another company to do that for you?
I go through a couple of advertising agencies.
Okay.
I forgot to mention that. I forgot to say when I was describing the site. Yeah, So you click on it and then it says, you know, when you get the word right that you've donated 20 grains of rice. And that is paid for by the advertising you see at the bottom of the screen. It's just regular internet advertising. But the money goes to the United Nations World Food Program who then purchases the rice.
Do you have data on how many clicks that the advertisers get out of the service?
No, but it varies widely.
But you don't get paid on the click, do you?
No. Okay. Usually it's – well, I take that back. Sometimes it's paid on the click and sometimes it's paid on the impression and sometimes it's paid on whether people actually purchase. So it's a a combination of all those that's kind of determined by the advertising agencies, and I'm never sure which, or no one's sure which. They just kind of randomize it and see which one will produce the most revenue.
Okay, so not to be nitpicky, of course, but so these totals of rice that you're donating as you play the game, these are estimates based on what you expect to be paid from the advertising, correct?
No, they're actual real.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. The totals now are the site started October 7th of 2007, less than 3 months ago. And already there have been over 12 billion grains of rice donated.
Wow.
And we're averaging – well, Christmas has gone down a little bit. But I'd say in December we averaged over 200 million grains of rice a day.
I want to remind our listeners that we're speaking to John Breen here on WFIU's Noon Edition. I'm Adam Ragusa, sitting in for Bob Zaltzberg and Mary Catherine Carmichael. You can give us a call to join the conversation. It'd be nice if you weren't a member of my immediate family, but I'll take that. 855-0811 or toll-free 877-285-9348. You can send us an email to noon@indiana.edu.
I think it's nice your dad called.
I think it's nice.
If I told my father, he probably would have called in. He'd give me much tougher questions.
Oh, really? What would those be?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I guess I should have talked to your father before the interview. Yeah. So why we talked about – you touched on this a little bit earlier when you're talking about your experience studying economics in school. Why poverty? Why not – why hunger in specifically? Why hunger rather than malaria or childhood obesity or whatever other cause there might be?
Well, I think hunger is a very solvable problem, is the way I look at it. It used to be much, much, much worse 50 years ago. Right now, there are 25,000 people a day who die of hunger, and that's a lot of people. If you think of 25,000, every morning we hear, it seems, today in Baghdad, a bomb exploded and killed 20 people. Well, 25,000 is 1,000 times that. And of those 25,000, 20,000 roughly are children. Now, that number is huge, but it's probably one-fourth of what it was 50 years ago, because the world's actually improved a great deal, in particular China and India. China used to have many people starving, and now they're a net exporter of food. So I think it's now at a place where with relatively – small amount of money and effort, hunger can be eliminated, and it's just killing way more people than any disease, than AIDS, than malaria, than tuberculosis, than any of the devastating diseases that exist. So I actually started a site in January, which was kind of the precursor to free rice.
Poverty.com, right?
Poverty.com.
We'll get back to that in just a minute. I definitely want to touch on that. We've got a couple of callers waiting patiently on the line. Jim, you're on the line with John Breen.
Oh, well, thank you. I was calling because I know that this has to take quite a bit of time, any of this regular work, and I was wondering if John had time for other pursuits like backgammon or pool or anything like that. What he did in his free time.
That's a fair question.
Jim is a good friend of mine, and he is correct, and he beats me in backgammon and in pool.
Oh, very rarely.
Well, nonetheless, I mean, it's funny, but it's also it's impressive that you're able to manage these sites that I mean, how many hours a week would you say you dedicate towards free rice and poverty.com?
Right now, I'm dedicating probably about 60.
That's incredible. In addition to your work, where you've got a family to support, and also your backgammon matches with Jim.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, think how he's changing the world with his time.
But that's because it's grown so fast that it's taken up a lot of time to get set up. But I think once I get it set up and running, it'll take very little of my time. That's my hope. Poverty.com actually takes none of my time right now. So that's all set up a year ago and just runs on its own. It's the nice thing about the internet.
Okay, Jim, do you need to schedule your racquetball match now?
No, we'll do that another time.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Jim.
You.
All right, we've got another caller on the line. Pat, you're on the air with John Breen.
Hi. I've been a fan of the Hunger site for quite a long time, and just a week or two ago I discovered free rice. And now today I've learned about poverty, and I'd like to thank you so much for doing this. But I have a mundane question, and maybe it's answered on the site. How many grains of rice, for instance, constitute a cup and a pound?
You know what, Pat? I'm not sure of the answer to that question.
Cooked or uncooked? Converted?
Yeah.
You don't know.
I've never counted them out. So it counts out straight grains of rice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe if I ever count it up, I'll get in touch with you and tell you. Although I doubt that I'll do that. But thank you again so very much. I think the sites are just wonderful.
Well, thank you for visiting them, Pat. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it a lot. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay,
thanks
bye-bye.
For the call, Pat. Yeah, maybe you could do a competition like guessing the number of jelly beans in the jar and guessing the number of rice grains. I'll remind our listeners once again that we're talking to John Breen here on Noon Edition. We've reached the halfway point of the program here. And again, I'll just remind everybody of the phone number is 855-0811, 877-285-9348. You can send an email to noon@indiana.edu. And we're going to take a 90-second break now, and we'll be back with you in a minute.
You're listening to Noon Edition on member-supported WFIU. Production support comes from Closets 2, providing organized and expanded closet and storage space for home office and garage, using a variety of systems with no major renovations. Closets 2 owned and operated in Bloomington, 332-2233. And from South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate, classic bungalow-inspired architecture in the Bryan Park neighborhood of Bloomington, www.southdunstreet.info. Garrison Keillor and Company are coming to the IU Auditorium in Bloomington on February 16th for a live national broadcast. Premium seating with access to a post-show VIP reception is still available. More information at wfiu.org.
And we're back. This is WFIU's Noon Edition. I'm WFIU Interim News Director Adam Ragusea, and I'm here with Bloomington computer programmer John Breen, founder of The Hunger Site, and now operator of Poverty.com and FreeRice.com, all creative uses of the Internet to fight the problems of global hunger and poverty worldwide. We'd have some wonderful callers so far. We welcome some more. I'll give that number one more time, 855-0811 or 877-285-9348. Okay, John, I'm at poverty.com right now and I'm looking at it. And what I notice is that there's a running tally on the right-hand side of the screen and it says hunger deaths this hour. And it was at 520 when I came here just a minute ago. It's now at 529. And there are faces popping up on this map of the world that I guess are these the folks who somehow you know have died of poverty?
That's right. That's representing the fact that 25,000 people die a day. So it's roughly 1,000 people an hour.
Where are the names and faces coming from?
Those are computer generated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're approximations.
Right. Okay. I didn't want to use real names and faces.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. But nonetheless, it's very sobering to just kind of look at it. Now it's at 540, I should tell our listeners. It's amazing how quickly this tally rises. How do you quantify this?
Right. It's a lot of people dying. But the solution, and you can read about it on poverty.com, is actually very simple, and I'll describe it very quickly.
Sure.
Which is 22 countries, wealthy countries, have agreed to try to give 0.7% of national income. That's less than 1% of national income together, which will raise $195 billion a year that the United Nations estimates is enough to completely end hunger and diseases of poverty, including malaria and measles and tuberculosis, pneumonia. So these countries are, you can see on the site, some of the countries are doing very well and getting the 0.7%, and some are not doing so well. And once all the countries get there, which is hopefully in a matter of years, we can eliminate all these problems and be a much better world.
We've got a couple of callers on the line, so we'll go to them. We've got Rosemary on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
I tuned in a little bit late, and this is a sort of uneducated question, except that it's about something I read in the newspaper, namely that rice is now a scarce commodity for a number of reasons, and they listed them, and this was about 2 weeks ago, and needless to say, I didn't save it because I didn't know it would matter to me that much, except at the grocery store, that rice prices in the world are going to go up substantially. What is your supply line? What happens to free rice as a program if everyone is vying for the same limited resources of rice?
That's a terrific question.
Yeah, that is a good question. And it's true. Rice prices have gone up significantly, along with a lot of other commodities recently. But what the World Food Program does, they're the ones who distribute the rice and buy the rice through the United Nations. And they try to buy rice locally. So they'll go into very poor communities and not buy it from big American farmers and ship it over, but buy it locally in the community, which actually improves the local economy. You know, the money they spend there is spent by the farmer to buy something else and from a shopkeeper who then spends the money to buy something else. So that the price of that rice probably doesn't vary that much because it's often, you know, way in the back country of some very poor country.
Well, that raises another question for me, and I don't want to step on you, Rosemary, but I'll come in here with this question, which is that why rice? Why is it not another staple crop like corn or wheat or cassava or something?
It could be. I just chose rice as one of the major staple foods throughout the world.
Well, thank you very much, and those three sites sound wonderful. I've learned about them today. One of the thousands of things a year I learn on WFIU.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. Thanks for the call. We've got Sarah on the line. Sarah, you're on the air with John Breen.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I play free rice regularly ever since somebody told me about it.
Okay.
And I have two questions. One is a suggestion, and I don't know how anybody would be able to follow through on it. If somebody teaching children, for instance, to count, wanted to follow through on the question of the person who said, you know, how many grains of rice are in a cup or in a pound? That sounds like a good counting project for kids.
Yeah.
So somebody might come up with this answer. I would be interested in reading that on the Free Rice site, but I don't know how someone would get it to you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's an interesting question. Could you expand the concept of free rice to encompass a lot of different other games and maybe some games that are aimed at different age groups?
Yes. I actually thought one of my original thoughts was to do it for math problems. Mm-hmm. But then I thought it might give me a headache.
You're probably a math kind of guy, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I tend to be more mathematical than words.
But I wasn't thinking of that. If someone just wanted to do as a project at school, have my kids count this, and then they came up with an answer and they wanted to tell it to you, how would they tell it to you?
Oh, there's a question.
Oh. I guess... call me up
and
tell me the answer.
Sarah, go ahead and
I wouldn't know how to call him up. Sarah,
you can go ahead and call us and we can get you in touch.
Okay,
thank you, Adam. Adam solved my problem.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think I'm supposed to give my
and my other question is you were talking about when you yourself deal with these words.
Yep.
You're down around the 43 level or whatever. How do you decide which are the words that belong in which level?
Oh, that was a good question. Well, I started the top 1,000 words, which is about the top 5 levels, were words that I had never heard of and couldn't even begin to guess. And then the second 1,000 words, which is level 40 to 45, were words that I'd never heard of but could begin to guess. You know, mm-hmm. There was something in there that give you an inkling, especially when you had 4 choices. Yeah. And then they went down from there. And that's how they started. And then the computer program actually keeps track of how often people get each word right and wrong. So that was that was based on me is how it started. But since then, the millions of people who have played It's based on how often they get everything right and wrong.
Neat. Does that suggest that at some point you might go above 50?
Yes, actually, I have a couple of professional lexicologists. I have trouble describing saying that word. Or dictionary people who are actually coming up with extremely hard words, because there are people in this world, I didn't believe it, but who cruise right up to level 50 with no problem and been writing and emailing saying they want more difficult words.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are coming up with them.
At this point, when you get to 50, there's no reason to keep playing.
Right, right.
You know, you might as well go back down to where they're easy and accumulate more rights.
Right, right.
Well, I'm not going to throw out any accusations, but I think that some people playing at home might be going between tabs in their browser to dictionary.com or something. But no accusations there.
Where would be the fun in that?
Exactly, that's
exactly.
Right. Sarah, do you have any other follow-ups?
No, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for your call.
Bye.
We appreciate it. Wow, a terrific interest. Lots of folks in the community already kind of aware of what you do and interested in it and enjoying it. I should mention, because we're happy right now, that Hunger Death This Hour, according to Poverty.com, is at 664. It's amazing how quick that tally rises.
Yes.
And, of course, everything you do is fundamentally about that with all of these projects.
Right. And like I say, I think hunger can be ended. Those deaths can be stopped. And I just want to say one quick program that people might be interested in, because I think it's just the coolest thing since sliced bread. This is a program run by the World Food Program, the United Nations World Food Program. It's called Food for Education. And how it works is in very poor countries, families that are starving, the parents don't want their kids to go to school. Because obviously their siblings are starving. You and I would be the same way. We wouldn't want our families, if we're starving, go to school. What a waste. So, but if they don't go to school, they're never going to get educated. They're never going to get out of hunger and poverty. So what the World Food Program does is they say, okay, kids, you come to school and we will feed you. So first of all, the kids can learn on a full stomach, which really helps them retain their learning. And then the World Food Program says, and we'll give you this additional food to take home to your families. So these kids proudly go home with these bags of food for their siblings and their parents. And meanwhile, they get an education. So it's such a great program. All it requires in the world, there's plenty of food. It's not a question that we don't have enough food. There's plenty of food for everybody. And there's plenty of money to distribute it. So all it requires is taking food to these schools around the world, every school that needs it, depositing it, let the kids learn, take the food home to feed their families. And within a generation, you'd have a complete generation of educated children around the world and healthy and fed, and you would end that hunger and poverty right there.
Hard to argue with that. We've got an email here from Michelle. It says, hello, thanks so much for the work you're doing to create a better world. Your many donated hours are much appreciated. Do you have any suggestions for ways that the local community can take part in working to reduce hunger at the local, national, and international level? I assume that means, of course, other than visiting freerice.com.
Right. I'm not really an expert on that subject, but I think Bloomington does so much in so many ways on all those levels that you're talking about that it's incredible. I moved to Bloomington 12 years ago from Boston and Durham, North Carolina, and this place – It still amazes me at just how nice the people are. The first day when I walked into the Kroger and everyone was friendly, it didn't have to be. It's been that way for 12 years. And everything you read in the paper about everything everybody's doing, I think it's just great. And it's all very helpful.
Well, there are a lot of agencies around the area that do some really incredible work. Hoosier Hills Food Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Mother Hubbard's Cupboard and all of the agencies that benefit from Hoosier Hills Food Bank. Shalom Center. Absolutely right. There's a very impressive social services network at work in the community here. I'll remind our listeners once again, we're listening to Noon Edition here on WFIU, and we're speaking with John Breen. John, I want to go back to the thing that that first made you famous, which was the hunger site. And as we said, you washed your hands of the hunger site after about a year of working with it. I assume you still keep up on how it's operating and how it's doing. What's it been like for you to watch it change in the hands of the company that owns it now?
Oh, it's been good. The guy who runs it now is named Tim Kunin, and I think he does a very good job.
Hmm.
It it suffered during the big meltdown of 2000 when internet advertising went away. But it's come back nicely, and I think he's done a really nice job running it. They do a lot of good things.
Do you think you might do that with Free Rice at some point, pass it off to another person and move on to your next project?
I don't know. The Hunger site just exploded in size really fast, and I wasn't prepared at all to handle it. I didn't have the skills and the time. Free Rice, I'm a little bit more prepared. So I went into it knowing that I didn't quite expect it to grow this fast, this big, but I'm happy with it.
Well, we've got Nancy on line one. Nancy, you're on the air with John Breen.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. I had a question. Where does most of the rice end up? Where does it go to?
Mostly in Asia and Africa right now. And that's where most of the hunger is. And a little bit in Central America is also where hunger can be pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But the worst is Asia and Africa.
Mm-hmm. And obviously I imagine that the World Food Program can also direct food aid to places where there are temporary hunger hotspots where there have been disasters like the tsunami and things along those lines.
That's right. The World Food Program actually works in 75 different countries. So they're really all over the world. And then within those 75 countries, they work with a lot of local organizations to help distribute the food, organizations that know the lay of the land and stuff like that.
Do you have a follow-up, Nancy?
Yes. No, I just wanted to tell you thank you for doing it. I think it's a tremendously worthwhile project. I was just recently in Africa, including in Zimbabwe, where I don't know whether you have any distribution there, but my goodness, they certainly need help.
Yes, they do. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for the call. Here's an email, and it addresses something that I meant to mention at the top of the program. It says, hi, I saw that CBS News went to Fairview Elementary here in Bloomington and did a piece about Fairview students doing freerice.com. Could you please talk about that?
Oh, I'd love to. That's perfect question. because the schools have just amazed me. And CBS said, well, we'd like to know if schools are doing it. And turns out tons of schools are doing it. But Fairview, I happen to know Lee Heffernan, who's this superb, excellent teacher there. She checked with the principal, who was like 100% behind it. And they'd been doing Free Rice for weeks. Lee had discovered the site. And so CBS went there and filmed it, and the kids loved it, and CBS loved it. But the kids, it's the most surprising thing to me about this site was how many kids stuck to it. Because, you know, vocabulary on its own isn't the most interesting thing for a kid. Now, when we're adults doing this site, it's actually a little bit fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of like trying to get to different level, and the words, you know, you vaguely know, and you actually know more than you think you know. And
well, unless you're me, and my entire sense of self-worth starts to get called into question as I do it. But anyway, continue.
So adults, you know, they're playing, they're having fun, and then they're giving rice, and they're feeling good about that, and it's a combination. But the kids, see, I don't think they have that much fun doing the vocabulary, but they just get a kick out of feeding hungry people. They know that they're doing a good thing. And I've just gotten emails, and so is the World Food Program. They send it to schools all over the place, in Rome and Belgium and India and all over America and Canada. These kids are doing it, and they're just doing it out of the good of their heart. You ask them, you know, they say, I'm feeding hungry people. They understand the concept. This is starting in fourth grade.
That's incredible, yeah. We've got Art on the line. Art, you're on the air with John Breen.
Hello.
Hi, Art.
I have a question just generally about the old saying about if you feed someone, they eat that day, but if you teach them to grow rice, and I just wondered if your program can get into that at all.
Sure, but when there's a drought in Zimbabwe and it wipes out everything, you can't well grow your own rice, can you, right?
But, yeah, you're exactly right, Art, because in order to end world hunger, it doesn't do enough to just throw food at it. You have to give people a means to educate themselves and to provide for themselves, to teach them how to fish, as you say. So, again, discussing what the World Food Program does, I told you about their Food for Education program where they feed the kids. They also have a program called Food for Work where they simply pay adults with food to come build infrastructure for the community. So they'll be building roads and digging wells and digging ditches for agriculture. And in that way, the infrastructure allows them to plant and harvest and take the food to market or distribute it among themselves.
I think that's a very useful thought.
Yeah, isn't that? I mean, I think it's a great way to do it. You know, rather than just give people food for nothing, that helps nobody. You know, other than there's a certain level where you just can't function. You know, when we get really hungry, you and me and all of us, you know, you just can't function.
Sure.
Your mind is black and your body is just like, ugh. And so people, you know, especially if it's prolonged, then they just need food. But after that, to just give them food doesn't solve the problems. Yeah. But helping them to educate them and provide them with infrastructure and let them provide themselves with infrastructure solves the problem.
Well, thanks for the call, Art. Do you have a follow-up?
No, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Art.
Thanks so much, Art. Let's see. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. Time for a couple more calls if folks want to call in to Noon Edition here on WFIU. We're speaking with John Breen, founder of HungerSite.com and more recently Poverty.com and FreeRice.com. The phone number is the local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811, or you can call us toll-free from anywhere, 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to noon@indiana.edu. Now, I have a very mundane question, which is that how did you get a hold of the domain poverty.com?
I actually had to purchase it, and it took me a year because the people didn't want to sell it.
Yeah, I bet.
But they weren't really using it. So I just kept writing. I was just like, come on, you're not really
so it wasn't,
using it.
So it wasn't a bidding process. You were just trying to appeal to their humanity.
Right, right. Yeah. And I said, you're not using it for anything. You're just sitting on it. And they weren't. You know, it was one of these places that had a lot of sites. And so I just kept bugging them. And eventually they just said, okay.
That's a terrific story.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nice site. I wanted the name. I thought it was a great name.
Absolutely. Well, we've got another email here that's just been handed to me. It says, dear Mr. Breen, I was too busy on my very quick trip to Bloomington to contact you, but I've been able to figure it out. Just want to let you know that my students, grades 1 through 5 at American Community School in Beirut, Lebanon, are enjoying FreeRice.com. I introduced them to the site just before Thanksgiving break, hoping that they would remember those less fortunate as they sat down to do their Thanksgiving treats. I think it worked. I am from Bloomington, Indiana, and I've enjoyed sharing that connection with my students. Could you please share your email address? I would love to write you while the class is in with my students. I'm in Beirut right now, and I was advised that you're online right now. And I'm not sure, do you want to share your email address over the air, or can we just have this person contact us? We can.
Probably best to contact.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. Well, we'll get this person in contact with you. But
yeah, I just get too much that I can't reply to everything,
yeah,
and then people think I'm being rude when I'm not.
We've got a big backlog of callers here, obviously a lot of interest in this. So we've got Minerva on the line.
Hello, Minerva.
Hello. I was wondering if you've thought anything about the fact that the population is beyond the level that the world can support at the present time. So there should be some information about family planning and so forth along with this.
That's right, Minerva. I agree. That's been one of the causes of hunger. But, you know, I just read something interesting a couple of days ago, which said that they're now the latest experts who are, you know, who knows what the experts really know. But what they're saying is that the world population is now expected to level out at around, they're saying, 8 billion people in the year 2050. That it's starting to come down largely because countries like China have become industrialized enough that they're cutting their birth rate. Well, actually, they've been doing that for a number of years, and other countries have a negative birth rate. So it seems to be a problem that's confined still to their very poor third world countries.
Well,
are still exploding.
There's terrific pressure on the wildlife and the environment,
yes,
even in developed countries. So I don't think that's the answer.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Minerva. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the first caller to the show. My dad brought me up, telling me that his worldview, you know, overpopulation is kind of the core issue behind almost all of the world's ills, and there's a certain validity to looking at it that way. But nonetheless, obviously, measures like the ones you've undertaken can address some of the symptoms that people would consider them, like poverty and hunger.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to add one thing, to thank that person who emailed in from Beirut.
Oh, absolutely. I felt bad that we went right past that. But yeah, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, you're getting that was really nice.
Emails from teachers from Beirut. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It turns out a lot of people who are trying to learn English as a second language have been doing this.
Oh, yeah.
So we're actually trying to add pronunciation to it.
Nice,
that's what I've been working on.
Well, in the radio biz, we certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
we've got Mary Claire on the line, but I want to go to Donald first because Donald has the answer, I've been told, for the number of grains of rice in a cup.
Okay, good, Donald.
Hello.
Hello.
I looked it up on Google, and the answer is 29,000 grains of rice in a pound of long grain.
Okay. Well,
that's the answer.
Good. Thank you, Donald. We've got it. I've written it down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, so says the evil overlord of Google. sorry. We've got Mary Claire on the line. Mary Claire, you're on the air with John Breen.
Hi, Mary Claire.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing today?
I just wanted to make sure that you had told your wife that you were going to be on the radio today, because I think she was taken by surprise from that NPR piece a few weeks ago. And I forgot to email her last night, so...
Yeah, no, I think she knew. Adam nicely called me this morning to remind me.
Well, good. We appreciate everything you're doing, and hope I can convince my children to play a little more often.
Oh, well, thank you, Mary Claire.
Take care, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
Mary Claire runs with my wife.
Ah, I see.
A beautiful person in every sense of the word.
Well, you're an active couple, I guess. You got your racquetball with Jim and your wife runs with Mary Claire.
Yes.
let's see. What else can we talk about? There's so much that we can talk about. Obviously, you know, just in our tiny little sample here of the folks calling in our listening area, you seem to have really hit on something with free rice, because not only is it terrific in the sense that it's contributing to the World Food Program, but it's something that's really interactive for people, and they get something out of it. They can help to educate themselves, help to educate their children. Is this a new frontier in terms of philanthropy?
I don't I'm not sure I feel qualified to answer that, because I don't know that much about philanthropy. But I do know it's amazing to me how many people do it just out of the goodness of their heart. Mm. And the same was true of the hunger site. It shows to me, I think, that people around the world – and in America and in Bloomington, want to end world hunger. When you talk to somebody, if you ask them that, they say, of course. And in Bloomington, you can just see it with how generous everybody is with the food drives. But it seems to be a worldwide phenomenon. So it makes me believe that if people just pull together, we could end hunger. There's no reason not to. That, you know, we all live in democracies, and if you put it to a vote, if it was a referendum, it seems like 90% or 99%, virtually everybody would say yes. You know, provided it's not going to come from other programs, but it doesn't have to. And the benefits, the economic benefits, are huge. Some studies have actually shown that what it would do is, by ending hunger and poverty, you'd create so many new world markets and the world economy would rise so much that it would repay the investment many times over. And the same is true on a smaller scale of diseases like malaria in Africa, which costs billions of dollars in lost revenue, lost GNP in Africa. And the solution is very simple. It's to distribute bed nets, which cost $1 to $3, for people to put on in their beds, because the mosquitoes that spread the malaria come in at night. I mean, it must be horrible to live there every time you go to sleep, you know, that mosquito, you know, there's a 1 in 10 or whatever chance is going to have malaria. But so to spend a fairly small amount, it's less than $1 billion, to distribute all those mosquito nets seems to me such a no-brainer, and it would come back through increased GMP to Africa many times over.
Have you thought about doing some lobbying as part of your efforts here?
I'm not really a political person, but I know that's how things get done. So what I've recommended at Free Rice is for people to join a group called One.org, which right now has 2.5 to 3 million people, and they do extensive lobbying in Washington, D.C., to the Senate and Congress, and they get things done.
Well, we're about out of time here on the show. I want to remind our listeners that we've been speaking to John Breen here on Noon Edition, founder of The Hunger Site, and now more recently, and I'll say these very clearly so that people can hear them, poverty.com and Free Rice. That's one word, freerice.com. And by the way, at poverty.com, at the end of the show here, we're at Hunger Death this hour at 1011. So on that note, this has been Noon Edition here with John Breen. This program will be available as a podcast by about 5 o'clock this evening, and you can download it at WFIU.org, or you can do it through iTunes. Just search WFIU or search Noon Edition and you'll get there. So for producer Annika Pompel and engineer Mike Pascash, I'm Adam Ragusea. Thanks so much for listening and for calling in.
Noon Edition is a production of WFIU and the Herald Times. A podcast of this and other WFIU programs is available at WFIU.org.